You figuring it out. Let me share a newsletter. I do have one up here. Amen. Been sharing some of the missionary newsletters on Wednesday night as the Lord allows us to. But Beams Ministry, Bibles, Education, and Missionary Service sends Bibles out all around the world, especially to missionaries, and to get them in the hands of new converts and people in their churches. A lot of them don't have Bibles, and we give to them each month. And then we've got a sign-up sheet back there at the back. If you would like to receive their newsletter once a month, you can receive it at home also if you want to sign up for that. And we're going to send that in to them. This is a little prayer letter they send the church, and it's talking about a couple different projects that they've got going on. One of them's with the people of Thailand. They've got a missionary over there. It's requested 5,000 Bibles, and that'll cost $47,000, $47,400 to supply that need. And so pray about that. And they would get what they need there to send those Bibles out. And then the Bibles going to another missionary, reaching out to refugees out of Burma, and needs 4,000 in the Burmese Bibles. And so, and then also he put a note in here, and it's not too early to put some kind of note about this. That with the Christmas season fast approaching, soon we'll be making our gift list. Let us remember whose birthday we're celebrating and put Christ at the top of our list. So he encourages churches and individuals to give special Bibles for Christ. Every $7 will purchase one Bible, hardback Bible that they produce and send out to missionaries and send around the world. And also make a mention of the year-end. That'll fall in line with the year-end tax deduction. So it's a good, lot of good opportunities. I think I mentioned that last year. I said, praise God, we can give at Thanksgiving, and we can give at Christmas. And then, you know, what we give, we can, that'll close out the year in tax deductions, and that'll get you ready to get a refund to give more. Amen. Amen. So you can give big in November, December, and January. Amen. Ought to be some of the biggest months of giving in the house of God. And so, amen. You don't need to pray about that. Just do that. Amen. About giving. Amen. You got scripture on that. Just give. Amen. Amen. Just what the Lord purposes in your heart. Are you squared away now? We ready to go now? Amen. Everyone stand if you would. James chapter 1, verse 21. James chapter 1, beginning verse 21. Bible says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity you've given us. Lord, I pray, God, that you just bless, Lord, and your word. God, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come in your house. And God, I pray, Lord, that you just use us for your glory tonight. God, I pray you just touch our heart, Lord, that we might be receptive to the Word of God. Might be as the Scripture says here, not just a hearer of the Word, but we'd be a doer of the Word of God. Lord, I pray you'd help us, Lord, to do more for you, be the servant of God we need to be. Lord, I pray you encourage our heart about missions in these days and bless our church to do more. God, I pray, Lord, that you would just bless in a special way tonight, and everything that's said and done, you get the glory and the praise. Lord, it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Here in James chapter 1, maybe a familiar passage of Scripture, we shared maybe a thought or two about this recently in a message. And I couldn't get away from it, so we kind of went back there and are thinking about what, especially what the Scripture says in verse 25. The Bible tells us that, verse 24 and 25, 23, 20, this whole passage really, says, starting back in verse 23, it says that he that's a hearer of the word, not a doer, like unto a man that beholdeth his face, his natural face in a glass. In other words, he's talking about beholding himself in the mirror. And I believe it might have been on Sunday. I forget. Maybe it's Sunday. I guess it was last week, wasn't it? The last Sunday. Because I had Brother O'Malley with us this past Sunday. And then last Sunday, I was sharing you a little bit about how sometimes if we would come to the mirror, and we'd come to, and it's probably a good night to preach this, because I was walking up earlier, I'll go ahead and tell on myself and my wife. I was walking up the aisle a while ago before we started the service, and she was doing this right here. She was doing that with her hair, and I just waved at her. But she wasn't waving at me. She was trying to tell me that my hair was out of place, I believe. That's the signal. So if she's ever doing that, you'll know to look at me, and my hair is out of place. But like I said on the other Sunday, if we would come, into the house of God, and we wouldn't look in the mirror and maybe try to get our hair in place and all those things, or whatever. I mean, if it's not our hair in place, something else, or tie straightened up or whatever. We would, it would just be foolish of us to do that. And we would, in fact, especially if we did go by the mirror and behold ourselves in the mirror, we would see ourselves in the mirror and we would just walk away and do nothing about it. Well, that might seem strange physically, but that's what happens a lot of times spiritually. That's what happens many times spiritually. Folks will come to the service, they'll come and hear something from the Word of God, you'll read something in the Bible, we'll study something, God will press upon our heart about something, and we'll walk away and not straighten things out. We'll walk away and not do anything any different than what we did before. But what we ought to do is we ought to realize that there's some things we need to work on. There's some things that out of place. There's some things that we need to spruce up spiritually in our life, because we've seen the need out of God's Word, and we make a change. And we do so. I mean, because really, this is what's going to make the change, is the Word of God. This is what's going to make the change. I mean, I've found out after a few years of preaching that, people will just do what they want to do. I mean, really, it gets down to it. But if the Holy Spirit of God has impressed upon our heart, and we finally realize and we finally line up what we want to do is in line with what God wants us to do, then there'll be a difference in our life. Then there'll be a change in what we're doing, praise God. You say, that sounds pretty simple, but you're looking at me pretty strange. Like I said, if God tells us something to do, God wants us to do something, and our want to lines up with what God wants us to do, then thank God there'll be a change in our life. There'll be a difference. We won't walk away without making a difference in our life and a change in what needs to be done, praise God. Amen. Scripture tells us here, a picture of a man looking in a glass. And that's talking about a mirror there. We should look into the mirror of God's Word, not casually, but intently. Not just briefly looking in God's Word. Amen. We had our little little devotion, and that was it. You know, we had our little 1 minute devotion. Have you seen those little 1 minute devotions? You can get them on CD now. Put them in your car, and you listen to one track a day. And it's very short and to the point, and that's good. But most of the time, the reason we have those type of things, and we talk about a minute here and a minute there, is we're so busy doing everything else. And we don't open up God's Word. We're so busy doing everything else, and our life's so cluttered up with everything else, and we're going to have to do what we're doing a whole lot faster to get on to something else. And so we just squeeze a little bit of the Bible in, or we squeeze a little bit of something for God in. Now, I know that Wednesday night we're preaching more to the choirs, as we say sometimes,
And I know that there's several in this building here that have already, and we've got more. I thank the ones that have sent that little paper back into the beams saying they've read through their whole Bible. I think the number's up to about 5 in our church that went through that checklist, and they started in January. Some of them maybe got started a little bit later. Some of them got done halfway through the year. Some of them got done a couple months ago. But they checked off every chapter in the Bible that they read and went through the Word of God and have read through the Bible this year. And I commend you for that. I praise God for that. I don't know if I've ever been a member of a church we had that many that honestly read through their Bible. Amen. I mean, we raise our hand sometimes, and you know, we raise our hand on Sunday morning. I hope we don't raise our hand on Sunday morning and we didn't even read that lesson. Amen. And sometimes we say study that lesson, don't we? But I don't know if we, you know, we ought to do that. Amen. We ought to study the Word of God. We ought to study. Amen. We've got them lessons lined out for a whole year in advance. You'll get another sheet in January. So we're going to have no reason for us to not study the Word of God and take time to, we know where we're going. We know what direction we're going in. So it'd be a blessing if we'd take some time out for God. We'd take some time out and get in the Word of God. Not just casually looking, but intently looking. You say, well, where are you getting that, preacher? Well, I'm glad you asked. Now look at verse 23. Look at verse 23. He uses the word beholding in verse 23. He said, if a man be a hearer of the word, not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Verse 24, he uses the word beholdeth. Continuing this thought of intently looking. He says in verse 24, beholdeth, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. And then in verse 25, he uses another word here. In verse 25, he uses... Well, let's read on down. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed indeed. So he says we need to be beholding. We need to be beholding. We need to be looking. We need to be intently looking at what God has to say in His Word. Because I believe the Word of God is what's going to reveal what we need to do in our lives. Like I say, if the Word of God's like a mirror and we look into God's Word, then it's going to reveal some things. It's going to show up. It's going to reveal some things in our life that we need to get straightened out. It's going to reveal some things where we need to draw closer to God. It's going to help us, praise God, to do more for missions and do more in the church and do more in giving and do more in everything if we just keep looking, we keep beholding, we keep looking in God's Word. We'll see something that'll change our lives. I mean, I believe this book, I believe it was a Gibson sung that song a few weeks ago, and man, I got a blessing out of that. I was about to get excited over here. Y'all was here? Amen. I was about to get excited. I said, everybody just hold up your Bible while they're singing that. Amen. That was just good. That was a blessing. This blessed old book, and it says in that song, and I've heard people say this before, we don't need to correct this book. We need to let this book correct us. Amen. We're not in the business of correcting the Word. Well, a lot of folks are, but... We're not, amen. We believe 1611 King James Bible is the preserved Word of God, and we don't need to add nothing to it. We don't need to take nothing away from it. You know, so many people, they're trying to change the Word, and they ain't let the Word change them. The Word of God's there to change us, you see. Praise God. Well, let me give you a few things. The Word of God, first of all, reveals us as individuals. It reveals us as individuals. Bible tells us here in verse 23, he said, "This is if he be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's liking that man, an individual. He's liking the one person that's looking here, and they're intently looking, and they walk away and don't do anything to change what they see in their life, what they see in their appearance that needs to be changed. They don't do anything about it." How sad. He goes on to say, verse 24, "He beholdeth himself, goeth his way, straightway forgetteth what manner of a man he was." We see ourselves when we start looking in this book and we start letting God reveal what He says in His Word about us, it'll really show up who we are. It'll reveal who we are. Amen? And when we really see us, how what we are, we'll see, and we see God, we begin to see God is what He is in His Word, it will show that we need a Savior. Amen. We're all in need of a Savior. We're in need of the Lord. Amen. It's just personal. In fact, look how many times He uses a personal pronoun, some form or another. In fact, two times in verse 23 and four times in verse 24. Notice He says in verse 23 that He is like unto a man beholdeth his natural face in a glass. And then in verse 24 it says, He beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgiveth what manner of a man he was. So six different times in these two verses He uses personal pronouns. That it's individual, that we begin to see God as He really is, and then we see ourselves as we are. That's what happened to Isaiah when he was a praying to the Lord in the temple, and the one that he was a praying to showed up. And the Bible tells us that he seen the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. If you'll notice, reading in the chapters before that, the only thing he could preach about, the only thing he could talk about is the sins of people, the sins of everybody else. But God revealed unto him, when he seen God like he was, he realized he was a wretch also. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips. He said, I'm undone. I'm in the midst of people of unclean lips. Yeah, he needed to preach against sin. He needed to preach what he had already preached. But he began to also see that he needed to draw close to God. He needed to come before God, because God is a holy God, a righteous God. There's no wavering in Him. There's no fault in Him. There's no fault in His Word. We find the fault, it's going to be in us. And we need to draw close to God. It reveals us as individuals. Praise God, it points a finger, amen? Or somebody said, and you're pointing the finger, you got three pointing back at yourself. But I don't know if that's the case. Maybe that is the case with God, but He's telling us to look at Him and see who He is, and then we'll see who we are. We'll see how we need to draw close to the Lord, how we need to realize that individually speaking, you know, sometimes, I mean, people take things, we use the term, they take it personally, but yet they really don't take it personally. they take offense to things, and you say something, and they'll say, well, you're picking on this group over here and this group over there. Well, we had somebody recently do that. He was talking about, us maybe picking on the Jehovah's Witness or picking on Catholics or something like that. But the thing about the matter was that person's not looking at their self. It doesn't matter what this group does. You know, it doesn't matter what that group does. It matters what you do with the Word of God. What are you going to do? What are you going to do when God points His finger at you? Well, it doesn't matter what kind of name tag you have and what you believe. What you're going to stand and be judged by one of these days is not some dogma that a church has put together. What you're going to be judged by one of these days is the Word of God. Amen. And it's something. They had that, they were talking about, I guess you heard news about that church over in Charlotte, and probably heard a lot of news about it down through the years, but I hate to name any names, but the initials of it's Myers Park Baptist Church, I believe, over there in Charlotte. And there's another one not far from there, too. And I forget the name of it. I'd name it, too, if I can remember. They're the ones that had a big old sign that said, yes, a liberal church. I mean, it was advertising the garbage. And, of course, Myers Park does, too. They're advertising their garbage. The North Carolina Association has kicked them out now. Said, you know, you're accepting, you've got deacons that are homosexuals, and you allow people to come in that are homosexuals and just be members or whatever, and without preaching to them they need to make a change in their lifestyle. They just believe it's all right. Nothing wrong with it. And they've been that way for many years. A liberal bunch that doesn't believe the truth and doesn't believe the Word of God. And how sad that is. But, every person in that church, every person in this church, every person in every church They're not going to give an account of the church. They're going to give an account of their self individually. And I hope to God there's somebody over there that's saved. I don't know if there is. But there might be one or two. I don't know. But if they are, they'll go in the rapture and then they'll get straightened out when they get to heaven. Amen. They'll get a 101 course in how you get here. Praise God. You've got to be born again. Amen. You've got to be blood washed. Praise God, as we sung about tonight. And when God takes you and washes you with His blood, you're changed. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. You don't do the things you used to do. We don't continue in sin. That's what people want to do, ain't it? But you know the problem is, what they want to do, they want to come. And this, there was a guy talking about this, and he was an old Jew. I heard I listened to him this past week talking about that, and he's an old Jew boy. And probably, no doubt, from what I've heard, he's not been more saved than anybody else. But yet he's got some convictions about him, got some standards about him. He's talking about the synagogues, how they like to just bring people in and not make any standards and not have any type of a conviction, anything preached and everything. He was sounding pretty good. I was fixing to call in and tell him, praise God, there's still a few that preach the book. There's still a few that aren't trying to please the people. That's what he's saying. This is what people are doing, what people are leaning to. And how sad that is. But, you know, the problem is they're not looking at, hey, praise God. God says, you are going to stand before God one of these days. There's not going to be nobody else there with you. You're going to stand before God for yourself. You realize, and then you look in this book, that you're not just coming along with everybody else, but God is dealing with you personally. Reveals us as individuals. And second of all, it reveals our iniquities. And I know I done touched on that a little bit, but praise God, we'll hit her again. Verse 21, look at this. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Amen. He said we need to lay aside some things. We start looking, praise God, like I said, you know, getting that hair straight is one thing. Amen. But I mean, Lord God, if you woke up on the wrong side of the bed and there was a cookie on that side of the bed or something and you got chocolate on your face, or you got something on your face, I mean, it'd be a shame to come on to church without washing your face. Amen. I mean, we're not talking about just straightening things up, but sometimes there's some things that need to be cleaned up. Amen. Sometimes there's some things that need to be taken back before the Lord and laid down at the altar and turning some sin loose, praise God. We preach about sin and some thoughts about the root of sin right before the revival meeting. I guess it was Wednesday night, a couple weeks ago on Wednesday night. And I mean, you think about it, if there's really going to be revival, if there's really going to be a touch of God, if there's really going to be somebody listening to God, they're going to have to get things out of their life that's hindering them. And sin will hinder us. It'll be a weight. He said, lay apart, lay aside, clean up, take off, deal with. Amen. Yeah,
that's right.
I was reading, we got that, I think it's in the latest Sword. I'll make this little announcement about it, and we'll get the last one gone. I think there's just one back there, the latest one. And but there's a thing, and I ain't read it all, but there's a thing in there from that Bob Jones Sr. wrote, and it's just entitled Work. And I don't know if some of you's already read through that one, but he's I think it was sounded like some type of a message to the freshmen, the young college students coming in. And boy, he's just talking about them being studious and not being lazy, and just, you know, a lot of things. Just I mean, people was talking about, you know, I need to. I had one young girl said she was going to pray that she hadn't studied real good for a test, but she was going to pray. Now, you youngins, listen up. It's in school. Said she was going to pray. Had a test coming up. Said she was going to pray that God would help her with that test, but she hadn't studied like she need to. And he said they ain't used to pray because you ain't did the work. Amen. He said, you ain't did the work. And one of his phrases for many, many years he used to say all the time, just do right. Man, he'd get up there and preach, do right, do right, do right. If the stars fall, do right. Well, we ought to do right. Amen. We ought to avoid sin. We ought to realize when the God points his finger around something, it's not that we look at the preacher and get mad at him, or it's not that we look at the preacher and say, I wonder who told him or how did he find out. No, just get things right.
Amen.
Amen. I'll tell you, I've said before, if I find out anything, I really am very hesitant to ever say anything about it in the pulpit. I'd rather take that individual aside and talk to them. Because it may be something I don't need to preach to the whole congregation. I just need to go one-on-one and counsel with that individual.
Right.
We need to talk about it. We need to counsel them, take the Word of God, and that's how they're going to get some real help.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And not blowing everybody else out of the water. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
But then sometimes, you know, there's some things you have to preach and you have to hit the whole crowd. Amen.
Yep.
Some people, that's what you call shotgun preaching, ain't it, Brother Tommy? Just splatters, you know. I guess that 101's getting a rifle out, ain't it? My goodness. But anyhow, get the gospel gun out. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We need to take God's word. It reveals our iniquities, you see, and we need to deal with it. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, the Bible says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, having these promises. Having what? Having the Word of God. Having these promises, dearly beloved. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. My goodness, that'll blow most Baptists out of the water right there just saying the word holiness in the service. Praise God. But God says in His Word, the way to heaven's a way of holiness. And I realize, you know, if you're saved by the grace of God, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has made you holy and righteous and pure in the sight of God. But also, there's a continual part of sanctification. There's a continual part of being saved. There's a continual part of being pulled away from the very power of sin. Yes, you've already been cleansed from the penalty of sin, and your name's written in heaven, and your position is right in the sight of God, but our practice doesn't always match up with our position. That's where in this sinful world, we're in contact over and over again with things in this world that can lead us astray. They come in through the eye gate. They come in through the ear gate. Our hands handle them. Our feet take us there. And we go by some things that we have to continue to look into God's Word and get some things straightened out in our life. And I'm thankful the Lord's there. We're not always faithful, but thank God He's always faithful. He'll always be there, praise God. And listen to this, 1 John chapter 1, and you know this verse, 1 John 1 and 9, it says, we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise God, this book, it will reveal us as individuals. It'll reveal our iniquities. And then last of all, let me say, it'll reveal us as instruments. It'll reveal us as instruments. And in that passage that we read, if you look down to the last verse we read was verse 25. The Bible says, whoso looketh, here's where we're at, here's where we need to be, whoso looketh in the perfect law of liberty. Amen. Like I said a while ago, we don't need to change it. Let it change us. It's perfect. The perfect law of liberty continueth therein. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. There's that word. This man shall be blessed in his deed. Thank God. God tells us that He wants to bring about the miracle of regeneration. Not only, it's already happening in your heart if you're saved, but there's a ministry of reconciliation that God's given to every one of us, that we might lead somebody else to Jesus. We might point somebody else to Christ. We have the opportunity to be busy about the work of God, to be busy about the deed that God has placed before us, the task that God has placed before us. And years ago, the songwriter wrote the song, I don't want to leave behind an unfinished task. The Lord has left us a work to do. We ought to be busy about it. We ought to be, listen, I tell you every time, Brother O'Malley, I told him before he came and told the church here this past Sunday, I said, we're just glutton for punishment. Had him three times this year, but praise God, he preached just like he did the first time we had him. Amen. I mean, he preached. We start talking about, especially I thought about that missions meeting. A lot of times in that missions revival, you know, we talk about the missionaries and everything, but boy, he started preaching to the church. He said, you know, we support missionaries, and we got the prayer letters back there, and we support them. We want to see that increase, and we want to do more for God there. But that ain't all we need to be doing. We don't need to say I'm paying them or I'm just paying the preacher. We need to get busy about what God wants us to do. I believe that. And I tell you what, the more we get in this book, the more we study God's Word, the more we get away from a one-minute devotion and we get into God's Word more and we read God's Word and we apply it to our life, thank God it'll reveal us as instruments that God wants to use. Amen. I mentioned on, I guess maybe it was last week, we preached a message sometime about getting into the holy place. You know, you get into, we're in, most Baptists are over there in the wilderness. That's where they're at, Brother Pete, over there. And a lot of them's in there longer than 40 years. Just wandering in the wilderness, just going in circles. They're down in the valley, Lord God, they're going through the tunnel. They're going up the rough side. I mean, even if there's a mountain around, they're going up the rough side of it, you know. You know, it's just, but thanks be unto God. God's called us going over into Canaan land. It's more a better picture. It's not a perfect picture of heaven because there's not going to be any battles to fight up there. I mean, the milk and honey part, that sounds good. That sounds like heaven. And some of the goodness of God that they experience there and being in the perfect will of God, and heaven's a perfect will of God for the saint of God. But it's more a perfect picture of getting closer to God, being in that right relationship, being in a closer walk with the Lord. And another picture of it is walking in the garden. We talked about that. And another picture of it, I'm not going to preach the old message again. Don't get nervous. But another thought about it was getting into the holy place. Getting into the holy place. And I wrote this quote down. I don't even know who said this, but I wrote this down. It says, that which is heard in the holy place must be lived in the marketplace. That which is heard in the holy place must be lived in the marketplace. God, God reveals us as individuals, and we get things right personally with the Lord, and we know everything's right, and then we begin to walk with the Lord, and we begin to get the sin out of our life, and we begin to go in the right direction. We realize that God has left us here as instruments to be used for His glory, vessels of honor, praise God, because the Lord set aside. Then, praise God, we have the opportunity through the Word of God and through our devotion and through our time of worship, we have the opportunity, praise the Lord, we have the opportunity to walk in the Holy of Holies with the Lord. We don't have to have a priest to go in for us. We can go in ourselves because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, thanks be to God, since we got that such a great privilege and such a great opportunity, then we ought to realize we ought to take that gospel to the marketplace. We ought to take that gospel where we go. God would have us to do that. Amen. Praise God. Look, did I ever give you the title of that message? Brother John didn't even write it down. He don't know the title yet. Looking into the mirror. Amen. Looking into the mirror. Ask the musicians to come around. God knows your heart. That's the way to close, ain't it? Give the title at the end. That ain't the right way to do it, boys. Just give your title first, Brother Will and Todd and Brother Johnny. Amen. Everyone stand if you would. Lord knows your heart. Amen. Just obey God if you want to come around and pray. Praise God. What a privilege we have. Open up a copy of God's Word. Look into the perfect law of liberty. Look into the perfect Word of God.